Welcome to all who are gathered today here in the church hall and through in the church building. And hello also to those who will be listening later on at home. The announcements for the week ahead are as follows. The evening service was pre-recorded on Friday night. CDs for that were distributed yesterday, and that evening service is on the church website. And the this service will be put onto the church website as soon after the service as possible today. And then on Wednesday evening this week, Wednesday the 17th at 8 o'clock, there'll be a midweek prayer meeting, and it'll be here in the church hall Wednesday at 8 p.m., just meeting for prayer. Next Lord's Day then, the morning service is due to be here at 12 noon, relayed through into the church building. And next Lord's Day, I'm due to be preaching in our Brady congregations, one of the vacant congregations. And the preacher here is due to be Reverend Tom McKendry. The evening service will be pre-recorded, and I hope to be doing that pre-recording on Friday evening, the 19th of March. And then session met during the week, Wednesday past, and we decided to continue with the present pattern of pre-recording the evening services on Friday night, and meeting for worship at 12 noon on the Lord's Day. And we intend to continue with that pattern at least until the 11th of April. And session is due to meet again on Wednesday, the 7th of April. And on the 7th, we will discuss whether we change that pattern. But until the 11th of April, we continue as we have been over this last wee while. The last time we were able to meet in the church building for worship, the whole body together, was the 15th of March 2020. And today we've reached the 14th of March 2021, so this is we're almost a year since we were last able to meet together in the church building. A couple of other announcements then. The March issue of the Covenanter Witness was delayed, but it is now available, and so it's on the table in the hallway and in the vestibule, the Covenanter Witness for March. And in the March issue of the Covenanter Witness, there's a little report on the presentation to Charlie and William James, marking their 50 years as elders in Karatz. And very soon it'll be 51 years that they'll have been elders in Karatz, since it was the 22nd of March was the date of their ordination. So that's something to look out for in this month's issue of the Covenanter Witness. And then the final announcement I have is to ask that the deacons meet briefly after the service. So if you could just remain in the hall for a few minutes after the service. Those are the announcements that I have for today. We commence our worship then, joining together in prayer, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. Gracious God in heaven, we praise you for the return of the Lord's Day. We thank you for a new week that you've brought us into now, and we praise you, Lord, that we can expect that you will remember us in all the days of this week, that you will provide for us, and that we will taste and see that the Lord is good each day that you give us. We thank you, Lord, for those blessings that you give to us in life. And today in particular, we remember the blessing that our mothers have been to us. And Lord, we praise you for the way in which you have ordered the world. We thank you, Lord, for everything that our mothers have done for us. We give thanks, Lord, for those who are no longer with us, and for all that their memories mean to us. We thank you for those who still have mothers and those who are busy being mothers. And Lord, we ask that for your blessing upon all who fulfill that important role. And even in these days, Lord, we pray for some who have the opportunity of being mothers, and we pray, Lord, for those who are pregnant. We would remember Catherine, William and Margaret's daughter-in-law. We pray for her in these last couple of weeks of her pregnancy. We pray that all will go well, and that soon they would have a second child safely delivered. And Lord, we thank you also for this time of year when we remember the coming of the Christian faith to this island. And we praise you, Lord, that that took place a long time ago, that for many centuries, people on this part of land have had the opportunity to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we praise you for all that you have gathered to yourself from this island. And we praise you that today there are many places where that good news is still being proclaimed. And we pray, O Lord, that you'll be pleased to use your gospel mightily in these days, that people will realize that good news is the very good news that they need. So, Lord, we look to you now. We ask for your blessing upon our time of worship. We ask forgiveness for all our sins. And we pray for the working of your Holy Spirit in our hearts just now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let us read from God's Word. I want to read a few verses at the end of Matthew chapter 7 to begin with, and then we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Matthew chapter 7, at the end of the chapter, it's the end of the Sermon on the Mount, page 855 in our church Bible, and just this last little section, Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And then turning to where we've been reading in the book of 1 Corinthians, and I want to read the verses that we were considering last week at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 3. And we looked at the first 9 verses last Lord's Day morning, and I want to read those verses again, and then continue on in the reading down as far as verse 17, and then today we'll be thinking on verses 10 through to 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, page 1014, it is in our church Bible. And here we have these words of God. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers, through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And so reads God's own true word. I normally speak to the children at this stage. I'm going to incorporate that into the sermon today. So at this stage, we come to God in prayer. This week is the final week of classes at the Reformed Theological College. Students then have a week off, and then they have 2 weeks of exams, so it's a busy time for them. We remember them. Be praying for the congregations of the Western Presbytery that are vacant just now, Stranorler, Enniskillen, and Brady. And then also remembering the congregation of Drumbolg. And after this Sabbath day, Norris Wilson has just 2 more Sabbath days as the minister there in Drumbolg. So we remember them as they come to a time of change. Well, we'll come to God now in our prayers. And if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we stand before you now as we come in our prayers, and we come in reverence, acknowledging that you are the Lord God Almighty. And we praise you that you are the one who has every right to do as you see fit in the world. All things are yours. And Lord, we praise you that you have been a God who has been merciful across the earth. We praise you, Lord, for the work of salvation that you've done. We praise you that many have already experienced the salvation of God, and we pray that there'll be many more who will be yet to enter into that. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one who remembers us in our needs and in all the challenges of life. And today we would remember those among us who are elderly and frail, for those who are housebound. We pray for those who are under pressure in these days. We pray for all who find this to be a very challenging time, and we ask, Lord, for your daily help in coping. We do praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word, which is a treasury unto your people, and we pray that we will find much help in your word day by day as we look into the scriptures. We do remember, O Lord, our missionaries in these times. We pray for our overseas missionaries in Nantes and in Malaga, and we pray, Lord, for the work of the gospel in those lands of France and Spain. And Lord, we know these countries to be ones that have not had many Christians in recent times, and we pray, O Lord, that you would be working, that through the present world situation, that there will be many whose minds might be opened to the things of God, and that in your providence they will hear or read the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Lord, for a work, and we are conscious that the continent of Europe is one that has been hit particularly hard by the pandemic. And we pray, Lord, that there may also be a harvest of souls in that needy continent. We pray, Lord, for the congregations in the Western Presbytery. We pray for those in particular that don't have a minister of their own. We pray for Stranorlar. We ask, Lord, for that congregation in County Donegal. We pray for Ian Morrison, their interim moderator. And we ask that you'll help him to be a blessing to them. We pray that you'll keep him well, that he might be able to continue on in the work that he's been doing in upholding that congregation. We pray for the folk in Enniskillen and the disappointment they have in the recent call being declined. We pray for the ongoing meetings there, that people will be able to gather for worship, and we pray that as they do so, that they would have great hope in you as the God who provides. Pray for the Brady congregation. We pray for them and in their vacancy, and we ask, Lord, for blessing upon them in their times of fellowship. Pray for your help in going there next Lord's Day to preach your word. And we remember also, Lord, within our own presbytery, the Drimbole congregation. We thank you for the ministry of Professor Norris Wilson there over these last 16 years. And we pray for him as he comes very close to the end of his time. We pray for even today and for the remaining two Sabbath days that he has. And Lord, we pray that you will bless his work there, and we pray that there will be particular opportunities that he'll have in these last few weeks as the minister of that congregation. We ask, Lord, for the theological college. We thank you for the men that you've called to prepare for the work of ministry. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them to the stage when they're nearly finished their classes. We ask that this last week will be a good finishing week for them, and that you'll help them then in preparation for their exams that they'll be doing at home, and for the various placements that they have beyond that. We pray for these men, and we ask that you'll be with the three of them. We pray that you'll keep them well. We pray that each of them, O Lord, will be able to serve you well in the future and be a great blessing to your church. And we pray that you'll be working in the hearts of others, O Lord, laying upon them that concern and that desire for the work of the ministry. And Lord, we pray that you will so work over the coming months that there will be clearly a number of men ready to commence training in the autumn time. We pray that it will be easy for the college to decide to go ahead with a new intake of students, and we pray, Lord, that that will be an encouragement to the church as we see you answering our prayers. We ask for wisdom for our political leaders. We pray for those who will be meeting to review the present restrictions on Tuesday. And Lord, we pray for many difficult and contentious issues that will be there, whether on Tuesday or other days. And Lord, we look to you for your mighty working. We find it hard to see how progress can be made when there are such strong differences of opinion on so many things. But, O Lord, we praise you that what's impossible with man is not impossible with you. And so, Lord, we pray for our leaders, and we ask that you will give them a wisdom that is beyond their own wisdom. And we pray, Lord, that there will be good decisions made. Hear us, Lord, in these prayers. We ask that you will show us your truth in your word. And we pray that the things that we find in the Scriptures would be things that we would take to heart and that we would seek to act upon, O Lord. Help us to heed the warnings that are there in your word. Help us to draw comfort from the encouragements that are there in your word. We pray, Lord, that you would cause your word to do its work in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we look to God's Word today. The passage I'm going to be speaking on is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the passage from verse 10 down to verse 17. One of the things I enjoyed about being a parent and having young children was the opportunity to revisit some of the stories that had been read to me whenever I was a child, and then I got to read the same stories to my own children. Thankfully, there were some new stories that appeared in between the time when I was a child and the time when I was reading stories to my children. For example, Postman Pat appeared in the intervening time, and I always enjoyed reading the Postman Pat stories to my children. I had never been read those stories. They hadn't been written when I was a boy. I also enjoyed reading Thomas the Tank Engine stories, and they were around when I was a boy. And I read those little books for myself, and Thomas the Tank Engine enjoyed a bit of a revival just at the right time, and there were lots of Thomas the Tank Engine stories available when I, as a father, was reading stories to my children, not realizing that one of those children would go on to be an engineer working in the railway industry, heading towards being the fat controller himself. Well, I wonder if the children listening, I wonder if you have any favorite fairy stories from your young days, those stories that you would have had read to you, those fairy tales. One of the most vivid ones I remember, and I can imagine, I can picture the illustrations and the little ladybird version of the book, which we would have had at home when I was a child. And it was a story of the three little pigs. That was a great story. I like that story, but it was a scary story. Scary because of the big bad wolf that was in it. And you'll remember the general storyline. I think maybe the story today, if you were to buy that book, it may have changed a wee bit at the end. It may be toned down a bit now from what it was when I was a child. But the general gist of the story is that the three little pigs were wanting to build a house. Each one wanted to build a house for himself or herself. And they were using three different materials for building their house. And one was using, I think it was straw, if I remember correctly. Another one was using sticks. And the third one was using bricks. And the straw was no good against the big bad wolf. And the sticks were no good against the big bad wolf. And the three little pigs were only safe when they were in the solid house made of bricks. And it was strong enough to keep the big bad wolf out. And it was also the thing which finished off the big bad wolf. And so what your house was made of was all important in the story of the three little pigs. And in what Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians 3, he is writing about building, and he is writing about how there are different materials that could be used in building, and that it's all important which materials are used. There are some that will not pass the test, and there are others that will pass the test. So let's look at what we have here in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 to 17, and I'm giving this the title, Careful How You Build. This all follows on from verse 9, and that's where we finished up last week. And Paul says there about him and Apollos, he says, we are God's fellow workers. And then to the Corinthian Christians, he says, here's what you are. You are God's field. You are God's building. And verses 10 to 17 then are all about the building of God's church. And the first thing I want to speak about is about a right foundation. Every building needs to have a foundation. And as regards the building of the Christian church in Corinth, Paul says in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. So Paul, humanly speaking, was the one who had laid the foundation for the church in Corinth. But he's not claiming that he was the foundation. And he's not claiming that he was anything special. God could have used someone else. And it was according to the grace that God gave to him that he did what he did. But nonetheless, he had been diligent about what he was doing. Paul hadn't been a thoughtless builder, a careless builder, or a reckless builder. He describes himself, rather, as a wise master builder. And I'm imagining now the Christie household in Bindura. I'm imagining Willie Christie thinking to himself, oh, there I am in the Bible, a wise master builder. And I'm imagining Megan giving him a dirty look and thinking, well, that's not about you, Daddy. That's about me. I'm the wise master builder. And for Megan's encouragement, let me tell you that the Greek word used here is the word architekton, which sounds very much like architect. So there's some ammunition for you in seeing that the wise master builder is the person who draws up the plans and decides what materials are going to be used and all of that stuff. And Paul was the wise master builder in regard to the church in Corinth. And he was wise in the foundation that he laid. He says in verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And Paul had laid the foundation for the church in Corinth, and the foundation was the Lord Jesus Christ. His message was the message of Christ crucified. And that was the right foundation. And that was the only foundation for the Christian church. It was then, and it is now. Often in history, new churches have come into being. New churches have arisen from time to time. Sometimes those new churches have arisen because of squabbles and quarrels that have taken place. And churches have divided. And various splinter groups have led to new churches coming into being. And that is the wrong foundation. Those churches are founded on the thing that's at the heart of it is not Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's something else. And other churches have been founded by self-exalting people who've decided that they've had enough of being trapped in the church structures that they've been working under. And they break free and they start their own church so that they can do their own thing. And the foundation is the founder member, rather than Jesus Christ as the foundation. Well, Paul was not interested in that kind of stuff. And he laid the foundation, and that foundation was Jesus Christ and nothing else. Now, of course, a foundation isn't everything. You wouldn't want to live in a foundation, especially at this time of year. A foundation is meant to be built upon, but the success of what is built depends upon there being a solid and reliable foundation. And there is no better foundation than the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it was the case that things were going wrong in the church in Corinth, which they were, it wasn't that a new foundation was needed. That's not where the problem lay. So in this picture of building, Paul speaks, first of all, about the right foundation. And the second theme here in these verses in regard to that work of building is good building materials. It also matters a great deal what materials are used to build upon the foundation. And in verse 10, after mentioning his own work of foundation laying, Paul says, "And another builds upon it." But he says, "Let each one take heed how he builds on it." And the building materials that are used need to be of the same kind of quality as the foundation. And Paul goes on then to mention six different materials in verse 12. Now, these materials aren't really things that would normally have been used for building. You don't really come across houses made of gold and houses made of silver or made of precious stones and so on. But these are the ones that Paul chooses really to exaggerate his point. And three of them are good quality materials, and three of them are not. So he says in verse 12, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones," and that can mean jewels, or it could mean stuff like marble, but it may well just be the jewelry end of things that he's thinking of. And then he says, "Wood," which isn't good quality wood that you'd have in rafters and so on, but it sticks. Bits of wood that are lying around sticks, like the three little pigs, sticks. If anyone builds using sticks, hay, or straw, or stubble. And Paul says it'll matter a great deal what kind of material you use in your building. And the reason why it'll matter is because there is a test coming. And it's not the building inspectors that are coming, the standards inspectors, but it's a severe test. In the Sermon on the Mount, the little section that we read, Jesus talks about the house that was built on the sand and the house that was built on the rock. And both of them were tested. They were tested by the storm, tested by the rain, the floods, and the wind. And one passed the test and one didn't. And here in 1 Corinthians 3, it's a different test. It is a test of fire. Paul says in verse 13, "Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is." And those first three materials that are mentioned in verse 12, they wouldn't be destroyed if there was a fire. The gold and the silver and the precious stones, the fire wouldn't burn them up. Now the fire is the fire of judgment on the day of the Lord. And that which has been honoring to Jesus Christ will pass safely through that fire of judgment, undamaged. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, They came safely through the fiery furnace, utterly unhurt, utterly without loss. And not only does Paul say, for those who have used the good building materials, there'll be no loss, but he says there'll be great gain. Verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And that which will stand on the day of judgment, when the Lord assesses what we've done with our time, the work we've done in this world, and how things have been done within his church, well, there will be generous rewards for all that has been done in honor of him. Those who have honored the Lord in life will be honored by him in the judgment. And nothing that anyone has ever done out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ will be burned up. It will pass through the flames. It will remain, and it will be rewarded. And every piece of Christ-honoring church work and every piece of Christ-honoring non-church work will be rewarded by the Lord for whom it was done. Always it will be the case that where good materials have been used to build upon the right foundation, they will pass the test and the laborer will be rewarded. And as regards the church, where Christ-exalting teaching has been given, where people have been taught to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, where what has been built upon the foundation is like the foundation itself, then all will be well. It will endure, says Paul, and there will be a reward. Here's the encouragement, that if you use the right materials, if you're seeking to honor Christ in your life and all that you're about, there will be a reward and nothing will be lost. No time will have been wasted. All will stand the test of the fires of judgment. So that's thinking about good building materials. Then the third thing we have here is that Paul also speaks about poor building materials. Probably some of you who are listening today will have some bad personal experience in regard to building work. Builders don't always use good building materials. Sometimes corners are cut. Sometimes the right thing that the builder needs isn't available to him at the time, and he has to improvise with something else. He has to make do. Well, Paul writes about building work that is done upon the right foundation, but which will not pass the test of fire. Verse 15, he says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And these are sobering and challenging words. Words that should make all of us who are Christians consider our ways. It is a sad picture in these words. A sad picture in which the work that a person has done in their life, that the things they've poured their energies into and given themselves to, that all of it is burnt up in the fire. The person themselves escapes that fire by the skin of their teeth. And this is a warning that in terms of a church, a person could be seeking to build up a church and yet their work won't receive any reward at all. It might all count for nothing. And the same is true of just living our Christian lives. it could all count for nothing. Our work might not survive that judgment fire. The reason will be that the wrong materials were used. We were building on the right foundation, but we were using the wrong materials. Now, how could that be? How could that be within the church? Well, there could be many explanations. Any kind of teaching that really isn't coming from God's word at all, well, that will be burnt up, because that has no substance. That has no worth. That has no value. Whenever the church just tells people what the people want to hear, well, that will all be burnt up, because it's what God wants them to hear. That's what we need to hear. When energy is given to emphasizing particular things that have no real connection to the Lord Jesus at all, well, that will all be burnt up, because it has nothing to do with the foundation. What is built must be connected to the foundation. If there's no connection with Christ, well, it's useless. Might be interesting. Might be thought-provoking. But if it doesn't lead you to think about Jesus Christ, it's no use. Churches can be teaching what's known as a modern progressive morality rather than teaching the morality of the Scriptures. There'd be no reward for that. No reward for rewriting the law of God. Churches can be guilty of portraying Christianity as being good, but nothing more than good. That is just one of many, many ways to God. And that will all be burnt up. And if you build with rubbish materials on a good foundation, you still end up with a rubbish house. And what you build with is all important. You have to have the right foundation, but you have to be building with the right materials, materials that are connected to the foundation. Foundation is Christ, and what is built must be Christ-centered. And that's true for our Christian living as well. And we need to make sure that our Christian living really is Christian living, that it is connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're not just inventing some cheap, shoddy substitute that we've made up for ourselves. See, just because you're Christian doesn't mean that what you're doing is worth anything at all. Christians can waste their time on useless things that have no connection with Jesus Christ. And the sticks would be burnt in the fire. The hay would be burnt in the fire. And the straw would be burnt in the fire. Not too long ago, the Grenfell Tower fire was a test of the material used on the outside of that building. And the result of the test was great loss. And here we are warned to make sure that we really are living for Jesus Christ, or it will mean loss for us. And we should pray and seek that we'll be something more than the person who will be saved, yet so as through fire. The person who is saved but is empty-handed, only just saved and no more. Saved, but never really having done anything that counted for Christ. We're warned about poor building materials. And then there's one other thing in this passage in regard to building work, being careful how you build. And the fourth thing is about wreckers. There's something far worse that Paul warns about in these verses. Even worse than being a builder of Christ's church, using poor materials is to be a wrecker of Christ's church. And that's what Paul comes to in verse 17. But before he gets there, in verse 16, he comments about how special it is to how special the church of Jesus Christ is. He says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And there were different words that he could have used to refer to the temple. There's a word that refers to the whole temple complex. And that's not what he says. The word that he uses refers to the central shrine of the temple. And he says, "Do you not know that you are the heart of God's temple? The church of Jesus Christ, you are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within the people who make up the Christian church." And the temple building in Jerusalem was hugely important in its day. But now, God dwells within his people, and they are hugely important in this day and era. The Christian church is hugely important across the nations of the earth, because this is where the Lord dwells. The Spirit of God dwells in the people of God, the united people of God. It is the church that has the word of life. There's no other body that is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. There is no other foundation that can be laid, and there is no other dwelling place for the Lord. This is it. The Christian church is it. It is the dwelling place of the Lord and his Spirit. And if you're a part of the Christian church, well then Paul is saying, how blessed you are. And in the light of that great blessing, and what a special thing Christ's church is, there comes the great warning blast of verse 17. It says, "If anyone defiles or destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." And here we're taught that if anyone wrecks God's church, God will wreck him. God will destroy him. The same word is used for the person who's doing what's wrong as is used for what God will do to him. It is, if anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. The person who is destroyed by God is not saved at all. The person is lost and their work is lost. The person is destroyed and their work is destroyed. And so we're warned here that God will deal severely with all those who want to see and work towards seeing his church destroyed. And there are many such people in our world today. Some of them we might think of as being far off dangers. The Communist Party in China and the dictatorship in North Korea, they want to destroy the Christian church. But there are many who are politically active much nearer to home, and they want to destroy the Christian church also. And they hate the moral standards of the Scriptures and the Christian faith. And they want to wreck the church that voices those moral standards. This week at the Stormont Executive, one of the parties in the executive, I'll not mention them, you'll know who they are, will be seeking to push the full provision of abortion services in Northern Ireland. What has already been agreed in law, but which hasn't actually been put into practice. You can only have early abortions in Northern Ireland. They want to see the whole works, and they're saying, why are we not doing this? It's part of law. It should have been introduced already. It should be already happening. We're not having enough abortions. And it comes in the shadow of Mother's Day. And a political party is arguing that we need more abortions taking place in our land. And there will be great pressure coming to try to silence any Christian voice that argues against the immoral laws of the United Kingdom and other lands. And there are those who are seeking to destroy the church. They don't make it obvious that that's their main target, but that is a consequence of their policies and their direction. And there are even those within the visible church who are seeking to undermine it and destroy it. And there are people who teach all sorts of things contrary to the Word of God, who exist within the Christian church. And there is denial of truth after truth after truth that is plainly set out in the Scriptures and has always been a part of accepted Christian teaching. And people are denying these things. And they'll approve of anything, and they'll accept anyone as long as it's nothing to do with Christ crucified. And there are those who are seeking to destroy the church from within the church, and God will destroy them. Their works will be destroyed, and their selves will be destroyed. And it's not a good thing to be a wrecker of the Christian church. There are all sorts of different kinds of wreckers, but they will all be dealt with by the Lord, who is the judge. The enemies of the Lord and the enemies of the Lord's church will in the end fare no better than the big bad wolf in the story of the three little pigs. And the big bad wolf, he was scary. He was dangerous. But he could huff and puff all he wanted. But he was the one who ended up in the pot. At least in my version of the story, that's what he ended up in. The fire got him in the end. And that's what Paul says about the enemies of Christ's church. The fire will get them in the end. And so we're being encouraged in this passage to make sure that Jesus Christ is our foundation. That he is the very core of our life, and everything is built upon him. And we're being urged to build wisely upon him. It's not just anything that will do. We need to build wisely, using the right materials. That everything about us is connected to Jesus Christ. That what we put upon this good foundation ties in with the foundation. Because the foundation is Christ, and what is built must be Christ as well. So we're urged in these verses to be careful how you build, because the test is coming. And you don't want all that you've given yourself to in life to be burned up. You want it to stand. And you want to be rewarded. That you've been serving the Lord, and he's seen it all. And your work will stand, and you yourself will receive his reward. Be careful how you build. Amen. Our closing psalm today is 127. Sing the four stanzas of this psalm, page 323 and 324. The tune is Consolation, number 66. We're taught here that unless the Lord will build the house, the builders toil in vain. Unless the Lord the city keeps, the guard will watch in vain. And Paul did his work as a wise master builder, but he knew that unless the Lord had been with him in his building, that it would all have been in vain. And it wasn't in vain. He was building on the right foundation. He was using the right building materials. And he was under the blessing of Almighty God. So Psalm 127, we sing the four stanzas, and then after the singing, I close the service in the benediction. We remain seated for the singing of this psalm.
Unless the Lord will build the house, the builders toil in vain. Unless the Lord the city keeps, the guard will watch in vain. Your rising early is in vain. Late as you barely keep to eat the bread that's gained by toil, he gives his loved ones sleep. Now sons are from the Lord a gift, the womb's fruit his reward. The sons of youth is a rosa for strong men's hands prepared. Oh, happy is the man who has his quiver filled with those. They in the gate will not be shamed when speaking with their foes.
Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all.